Lord, we love your word. Can't we say that maybe the Lord's speaking to us too? Wait for me. Lord, we love your word. We love your word. God, we want more of your word to permeate into our lives and into our hearts, into our souls, Lord. I thank you for the power of the Spirit that's here today. Thank you, God, for touching each of our souls, Lord. We know that we've been dry, we've been empty, we've been struggling in our lives and in our families, God, but we found the answer, Lord. We need you. We need your word, God. And so, God, I pray that you would make us and turn us, our hearts towards obedience to your word. God, I know that every revival in the Old Testament was not modeled by emotional things, although that was the fruit of it. But it was when people found the Bible again, they pulled it out and started obeying it, when you renewed the people's hearts. So, God, we come to your word today. And we submit to it, God, and we ask that its authority would take place and precedence over our lives, over our marriages, over the decisions we make, over our households, over our character, over every part of us, Lord God. Let your holy word reign supreme. And God, I pray that you break the foolishness and the stubbornness and the pride of my heart and all of our hearts, Lord, as we grow together in you. God, let your word be like the sword that you said it is, Lord. Let it pierce to the dividing of our soul and spirit today. Let it be like, Lord, let it be just like that piercing arrow, God, to get beyond our fakeness, God, to get beyond our garbage, to get beyond our baggage, to get beyond our sadness, to get beyond our depression, Lord Jesus, that we enter into your glory and into your kingdom, God, into the praises of you, Lord. We lift up your name this morning. We bless your name and we say hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord God, Yahweh, Adonai, the maker of the universe. We give you praise, Lord. Now, God, the word of God says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them through the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you've learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holy. Therefore, put away falsehood. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The truth of God's word spoken today. We got to put away lying. And when we look at our culture today, everything that we see thrives on what is a lie. You watch a television show and then they have a commercial on there with a fishing rod, if you watch that channel. And if you get that fishing rod, you'll be sure and get that huge fish. Or if you buy this energy drink, these vitamins and supplements, you'll be sure to be the healthiest. You won't even ever have to go into the hospital. Or if you buy that hair product, or if you buy that piece of clothing, you'll be the most beautiful, handsome person that there ever was. That's what commercials thrive on. That's what our country thrives on. We have things like Enron, where people have lied and deceived and cheated. You know, that's been in the past of our country. So we have politicians, of course, that lie and cheat. It's becoming more and more popular to have a culture that's very blatantly and outwardly saying that it's okay to live in deception and live a lie. But when we come to Jesus Christ, when he comes into our life and the Spirit takes over, God has called us to be people that are rooted and grounded in the truth. And when we see I gave you the notes today, and we went over some of this, so I'm going to just kind of review the first part. But there's three things I want to remind us of in verse 20. First of all, he says, that's not how you've learned Christ, not through deception, but you have a personal relationship with him. That word learning implies the relationship. And then he says in verse 21 that you've heard about him. If you were to look that Greek word up literally, it means Christ is speaking to us personally. How does he do that? He does that through his holy word. And then he says, you've been taught in him. In other words, we're in Christ. He is the atmosphere with which the teaching takes place. So, the truth is not just memorizing and putting a bunch of knowledge into our minds. It is knowledge plus a dynamic experience of Jesus Christ for real in our lives. We have to have that supernatural touch of God for the truth to penetrate and come out of our lives. Because the truth is in Jesus, he goes on to say that we must put off our old way of living because our old way cannot handle the truth. Now turn with me, if you will, just for a moment to Matthew chapter 9. And I want you to see this. This is very important. And this makes sense of what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 9. He says in Matthew 9 verse 16, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment and the worse tear is made. Neither is new wine into old wineskins. And if it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, so both are preserved. Folks, if you're trying to live in the truth of Jesus Christ without having a relationship and experience with him, if you have not welcomed the Holy Spirit, your skin, your wineskin, spiritual wineskin is going to burst. And the wine's going to go all over and not be used as it should be. So we need a new wineskin. We need to have that new way of thinking that is only found in Christ. And if you're spinning your wheels and you've been in church for a while, you've been stuck in the nastiness of religion, I urge you and call you to come out of that and say, yes, Jesus, I receive your salvation. I'm done living for me. I'm going to turn and give my life to you. Because without that, we don't and are unable and incapable of containing the truth of Jesus Christ. See, it's in our old nature to lie. In fact, the Bible teaches that the devil is a liar. He thrives on deception. He thrives on what is not true. And so he says the old self is being corrupted by evil desires. And so then we come full circle in number two, because truth is in Jesus, we must put on the new self and the new way of living. And notice what he says there in verse 23. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. In other words, attitude of your minds. The truth in Jesus gives us an attitude adjustment. So if we were to break free from this past lifestyle of deception, and we're going to talk about what that was all about in a moment here, we have to have an attitude change. You know, that's what the Spirit touching people and bringing Christian up here that he didn't even know how he got up here. The Spirit touching Denise and her family. That's what has to happen. An attitude change has to take place. A culture has to change from humdrum religion to, I want more of Jesus. I want to find out what God's Word says. I want to obey him. I want to share this with other people. There has to be an attitude adjustment to be renewed in our attitude. And once we have this new attitude, we're going to be eager to change. And you will begin to live as God intended you and created you to be. So how did he create us to be? He says we're created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. So if I were to just simplify righteousness or right wiseness, it's basically living equal to God's standard as found in his word. So if you were to compare your life, your actions, your words and deeds with the standards that's in God's word, I'm talking about the whole thing, not just little parts that we like, How would the scale be? I'll tell you, the scale is like this right now in my life, but hopefully, until the day I die, it's going to start to come like this. So we're created to be like God in righteousness. We're created to equal the scale out, that we live out what's in this word and in this book. And then he says holiness, which brings in the whole relationship aspect of God. You know, I don't know about you, whenever we sing that song, Holy, 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 I mean, I just transport it into the throne room of God, and I feel like I just want to die or crawl under the carpet because of the greatness and the majesty of God. We can be in relationship with God like that because of holiness. In other words, we have that right connection with God. We're in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So that's what we're created and meant to be. When God made Adam and Eve, He made them to be righteous, to be holy. They decided to do things in their own way and mess up and turn around the whole pattern of what God meant for the family to be. And that's a reoccurring theme in our church, that God is moving on each of us, is that we need to find out, men, women, children, what it means to be a Christian family. What it means to have our lives aligned with the Scriptures, with the Word of God. And so when he comes to that section, he says, put on the new self. This is something that we have to do. We have all this righteousness and holiness in Christ, but I could just sit here and not do anything, which is what most church people do in America. But God has given us the power to get off and to take off some junk in our lives and to replace it with the good things. So your whole Christian walk, my whole Christian walk, is going to be this put off, put on thing. Now that sounds very simple, doesn't it? It's because that's the way God planned it. Is that we take off the junk and replace it. But here's what's happening. We have a lot of pop psychology. We have a lot of feel-good meetings where people go and they share all of their issues and their problems, but they say they're going to put off these habits and these addictions and these behaviors, but there's nothing else replacing it. You have to replace it with something in order to change. That's how this Christian life works. So you put off things and put on. So our first put off and put on, which kind of ties in the whole theme here, and it's not by mistake that he mentions this first in verse 25. He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So because truth is in Jesus, we must put away lies and cultivate a lifestyle of truth. So let's focus on this today on the back of your notes. If God has called us not to live in lies, and Satan is the father of lies, that's the spirit of Antichrist, we need to look at what a lie is, because our culture has redefined what lies are. Well, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, it's okay to say it, even if it isn't true. Well, if I tell them the truth, it's going to hurt so-and-so, it's better to just tell a lie. And we call those white lies. There's no such thing as a white lie. A white lie is a black lie. As small as it is, it's a lie. And it is of the devil. It is from Satan. And so a lie is when we slander or talk evil about others. That's one way that we make up stories about other people to make ourselves look good. That's one way of lying. And lies can also, let me mention, be unintentional too. Let me tell you why. Remember this thing called with Adam and Eve, we were bound by sin and then Jesus came and saved us. There's still some residue, still bad habits left over from our old sinful nature. That's why we sometimes lie and we don't really intend on doing it. But by God's grace, the more we immerse ourselves in this, the less lying that we're going to be doing in our lives. So it's when we make statements that are deliberately intended to mislead another person, especially when it is for their own advantage.
Now, I could be coming over here and I'm going to hit Brother Terry in the head with this hymn book, and I could say something like, look at the birds outside. Look at the sun is out. Look, Gordon's sitting in the back, and he would turn his head and bam, I hit him over the head. Yeah, I know.
Then I would see birds.
Then you would see birds get around your head. A lie is telling something or even doing a facial expression that leads someone to believe something other than what it really is. You know, children learn this at a very young age. You know, they could be getting into something in the refrigerator that they're not supposed to be getting into. And they come over to the refrigerator and then they see you coming and they're like, I'm just cleaning the fridge, Mom. We are experts at this kind of lying. You know, it's in our sinful past, our human nature, when we make statements to lead someone to believe something else than really what it is. And we could say, well, what I'm saying is not really a lie, but it is. That statement may be true, but you're trying to lead someone else away from what really is going on. So it's a lie. It's of the devil. That's how Satan deceives us. And it's how he destroys our lives. How about another form of lying is when we make promises that we can never intend, or we never intend to keep, or we can't keep because it's not humanly possible. Think about that for a moment. The more we conform ourselves to the image of Christ, perhaps the less promises we'll make. Because if we can't fulfill them, don't say them. And that's where a little bit of humility has to come in as well. Because we want to be everything to everybody, right? We want to serve our brothers and sisters, our families. We want to do everything that's good and right. Yes, I'll do that for you. And then a month or two goes by and we never do that. If you can't do it, don't say it. Because that is a lie. When we make promises that we don't intend on keeping. How about number four, when we don't keep our commitments? What are commitments? They're things that we, by our mouth, or we sign up on a sign-up sheet, or whatever it is, at work or at home, and we say that we're going to do it, but then we don't. Now, obviously, there's circumstances that come up that could change things. God is sovereign. That's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is that when we don't intend really to follow through, like any old thing could come up and we just won't follow through with our commitments. So that's a form of lying. And I would say that's one of the biggest form of lies that in the Christian culture is that we want to commit to everything because we want to feel like we're spiritual and we want to look like we're spiritual to everybody. But the truth is that we can't do all those things. It's not humanly possible. Or we have other priorities and we say, well, I'm making this commitment to be here to serve in this ministry. And then something else better comes along and then bam, we're gone. It's a form of lying. And so I'm not just saying in the church culture, but what about how does it take place in our homes and in our workplaces? The things that we promise to our kids, the son, you know, we're going to go camping this summer. Then it never happens. That breeds devastating effects on our children for a lifetime. When we say things that we don't keep as a commitment. See, when we're talking about bringing our families in alignment to God's plan, it means coming in alignment with being truthful. And don't worry, we all tell white lies. We all lead people to believe something that we aren't. We all live in this deception. But the thing is he says, we got to put it off. This is something we're trying to get out of because God has created us to live like Christ in true righteousness and holiness. How about when our actions don't match our words? And I would say this is the biggest problem Christians have is that, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ that my sins are forgiven. And then the next night when no one knows or you're at home alone or you're at that bar or you're at that place and no one knows, and you're just a completely different person. You might be as sweet and kind as all get out here, but when you're at home, you're tearing into your husband and your wife, and you're like a ravenous wolf. The closer we come to Jesus Christ, the more truth that is in us. He says, put off falsehood and speak truth to one another. So how does lying subtly show up in our lives? Here's some more subtle ways. I mean, and we don't often think of these ways as forms of lying. And one could be self-deception. I could say, I've reached maturity in my life. I don't need this Bible study. I don't need to be in fellowship with the believers. I'm good. That's a famous phrase our teenagers and kids say to us when really they need something, but they don't want to do it, and they say, I'm good. This is the self-decision. I'm good. I'm mature. I'm more spiritually. I put off this air that I'm more spiritual than I really am. That's self-deception. How about self-sufficiency? I don't need the Bible. My grandmama taught me everything I needed to know growing up. And grandmama says to do this. Cleanliness is next to God. That's somewhere in the Bible, ain't it? You know, so that's self-sufficiency. I can make it without the Word of God. I mean, I don't need to go to that theology class to be a good Christian. I don't need to go to that Bible study to be a strong. I don't need to spend time in the Word of God to be a strong Christian. That's self-sufficiency. I don't need God. This is what straightens us out. This is what washes us. Whoa, okay, there's my microphone right there. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been so messed up in the mind and so confused, and I read the Bible and it just straightens everything out that's kind of all jumbled up inside. I mean, David talks about God's Word as a cleansing thing, you know. But we got to be in it. We have to study it. We have to know it. You know, when I've observed a lot of Christians that don't get into the Word of God, but they might be running around wild, or they might be doing cartwheels in worship time, but then when it comes down to commitment and faithfulness and solidity, they're not here. Because the Word of God has not taken root. God's Word is what changes us. How about self-centeredness? This is a form of lying that we do. It could be an attitude of superiority that we have towards someone else in the church or in our neighborhood or in our family. Like, they're just not as suave as I am. That's really not true. The Bible says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. View others as better than yourself is the command of Scripture. It's a form of lying. How about putting on masks? And it says, I will do whatever it takes to hide who I really am and what I really struggle with in my life. I think one of the greatest things that's been happening in our church on Wednesday nights is that, I don't know about all the small groups, but at least in ours, we've been able to get some of our baggage and our junk out and be real and share what we're struggling with in our life, and we don't get judged. And we're growing. Praise the Lord. You know, so we put on these masks and we can't be the body of Christ. That's a form of deception. That's devil worship. If you want to put it in an extreme case, it's what the devil likes is masks. False self. This is not who I really am. This is not what I'm really struggling with in my life. How you doing today, brother? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Well, it's not really how it is that week. Are you growing spiritually, brother? Yes, I am. I read my daily bread every day this week, and I read my Bible. Is that really how it is? Because deep down inside, most of us are struggling to overcome some things in our life where we're either in the midst of a trial where things aren't going so well for us, and we need each other. That's why he says, put off falsehood, and speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. How about people pleasing? I tell people what they want to hear, even though I can or won't keep my word. It's kind of similar to what we already had mentioned, but I just wanted to go into that in more detail. I've struggled with that in my life. I want to be the person that everybody likes and that accepts. I'm probably getting more cranky as I get older. That's okay. You know, God is, you know, you come to terms with who you are, and 40 is the age where you kind of reconcile your past with your future, and all the things kind of start to come together. And then, you know, it doesn't matter what people think. If you're going to tell them the truth, you're going to tell them the truth, because that's going to help them change. And not just tell them what they're going to, not try to sugarcoat stuff too much. And I'm not saying don't show love to people, but when we tell people what they want to hear, it's not going to help them. It's not going to build up the body of Christ. And you know what? Perhaps that might make a smaller church. There won't be as big numbers when it's a place of truth. I don't know. But I think it'll be eventually the opposite. The more we get our hearts in line with God's plan, our families in alignment with God's plan, people are going to be hungry for the truth, because it feels so good to live in truth, because we don't have to always look behind our back. We don't have that gnawing thing in our heart that I'm not doing what's right. I'm living in deception. We're living in truth, and we walk confidently before God, and we're so alive in the Spirit. It feels good. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So put away people-pleasing. That person is not going to get you into heaven that you're trying to please. How about hypocrisy? My actions not lining up with what I say I believe. In some sense, you could say that we're all hypocrites, but there's a difference between someone who says, hey, I'm growing in the Lord, and then the person that tries to have this fake Christian veneer. Unsaved people can smell out your sin. So there's no sense of putting it on fake. You could say, you know what? I'm saved and God has done these things in my life, but I'm still working on this. It's okay to tell an unsaved person that. That's the difference of a hypocrite and someone who is broken before God that says, you know, I'm striving to live in the truth. In the past, I lived in lies. But today, I'm trying to live in the truth. So why is it important to speak truth? Number one, as we already mentioned, we unintentionally lie because it's part of our old way of living. And I would encourage you to look up those passages later. 1 John 2:20 talks about the spirit of the Antichrist, which is lie. And Jesus mentioned John 8:44. You follow. He's talking to the religious leaders. He says, you follow your father, the devil, and he's a liar from the beginning. So it's important to cultivate a lifestyle of truth. Listen to this quote. It says, It is more from carelessness about truth than from intentional lying that there is so much falsehood in the world. It is more from carelessness about truth than from intentional lying that there is so much falsehood in the world. And that's true. We don't set out and intend in our hearts to lie. But when we become careless about truth and about washing our hearts and minds constantly in the Word of God, we will lie. There was a case of a baker who suspected that a farmer was supplying butter less than the weight that it was supposed to be. He was saying, basically, I'm providing you this much butter at this much weight for this price. And so his suspicions were confirmed when he carefully started checking the weight of the butter after several days. So in anger, he goes to the judge And the judge threw the case out of court, because when the farmer explained that he had no scales, he used a 1-pound loaf of bread purchased from the baker as his counterbalance. So lie upon lie there. So the bread didn't weigh a pound, so he was measuring his butter by the bread that the baker was so angry about. Lies. So why is it important to speak truth? Look around you. Because we belong to one another. We are members of one another. Notice how he words that there. He doesn't say members of a church. He says one of another. When we get saved and come in the body of Christ, we're inseparable from one another. We are the body of Christ. The hand, that goes to Corinthians, can't say to the other hand, I don't need you. Hand can't say to the eye, you're small and less important, I don't need you. You know, we are helpless without each other because we are the body of Christ. And so in a sense, if you want to go a little deeper there, why is this important? Is because God is the God of truth, and if He's made us His bride, the bride of Christ, how much more important it is for us to live in truth with one another. So in the church, we function together as one body of Christ. Lies make the body of Christ dysfunctional. Now think about how that happens for a moment here. How does it make the body of Christ dysfunctional if we tell lies? Let's just open this up now to discussion. Because I really want to get down to this, and this is so important for us. How would it make our church body, Christ Community Church, dysfunctional if we have these forms of deception and lies in our life? Okay, lies will spread. Yeah. Okay, so you're telling another one of a person a lie, so you have to constantly cover it up. You have to keep your cover. So you got to be fake all the time in front of your brothers and sisters. So you can't really help them through their problems. What else? Anything else? Yes. Yeah, it'll block the Holy Spirit. I mean, when we have, it's like the guy in the Old Testament that hid the gold under the tent and he wasn't supposed to. The whole army went into battle and lost. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. When there is a little leaven, leaven's the whole lump. So when we're choosing lifestyle of deception, it affects everybody else in the body. Yes? What's that? Others will stumble. They will see the discrepancy, and then maybe, perhaps some will think that are new in Christ that, oh, it's okay to live this double lifestyle. Everybody else does it at church, so I can too. And they never overcome their problem for their life, so we keep them in bondage. That's good. Anyone else? Yes. Go ahead. Right. It's the core of the universe, how it's put together. No trust. No trust. And trust is very important if we're to be the body of Christ if we lie. Is there anyone else before we go? So there you go. The world says lies are okay, but it's quicksand. It's quicksand. And we have to believe that. So in the church, we exist to help and encourage one another to grow, to become like Jesus. We can't do it without truth. So I want to encourage you today, body of Christ, and I love you so much. I love each of you. I'm always so great to be up there and look out and see everybody's smiling faces. So let's encourage one another to cultivate an atmosphere of truth, not only in our meetings, but in our lifestyles. That God's Word will become the primary thing that we go after in our growth in Jesus Christ.
This is what's going to straighten our messes out. This is what's going to help us reach our families. This is what's going to help us reach a world that's dying and going to hell. And, you know, we are the message of God's word. And if our lifestyles are not lining up with it, then how will people hear the gospel? How will people see the gospel? How will they know Christ is real and alive? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we admit readily this morning, and I, along with my dear brothers and sisters, that we struggle. We know it's real, and there's leftover residue from our old nature. So, God, we want to tenaciously cultivate truth in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that you'd please make our hearts open for your word, hungry for your word, that it would have a priority in our schedules, to study your word, to learn your word in whatever ways we can. So, God, that our ways can be in alignment with the truth, that the world will know that we are your children. God, we want to be like you. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and convict our hearts. Draw us to you in your truth. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let's sing that again. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking. Lord, I pray that you bless your people and that you cause your face to shine upon us and give us peace as we walk in the